In the name of the living God, who is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the day on which the Church celebrates the conversion of St. Paul, formerly known as Saul, on the road to Damascus. That moment of blinding light, a voice from God, temporary blindness, and a rapid turning around of Paul's life. And what a turning around it was. From the man who not only stood by and watched Stephen, the first martyr, being put to death, but who looked after the coats of the mobs while they stoned him to death. From the one who persecuted all Christians with a hateful passion, to a man who ultimately did more than anyone to spread the news of Christ and the Christian religion throughout the world. Conversion for St. Paul, as it is for any of us, is not a revelation without responsibility. It is not the end of the story, but the beginning. It may well have the feeling of bursting through from darkness into marvellous light, but it does not mean we can just bask in that sunlight. The light shows us what we are missing. The light shows us what needs to be done. In the dark, we do not see or recognize the tasks and possibilities ahead. But now they are shown up in brilliant light. It is our responsibility to act, as it was Paul's. And Paul's post-conversion life too involved him being baptized, retiring to Arabia for 3 years of prayer and solitude before returning to Damascus. There his Jewish enemies were so hostile that he had to escape by night, being lowered in a basket over a city wall. He went to Jerusalem, where he was received with some hesitation until Barnabas quelled the doubts of the community. Some years later, he worked in Antioch and the vicinity. Missionary journeys followed, first to Cyprus, then to Asia Minor, and then to eastern Greece, lastly to Ephesus, before returning to Jerusalem, where he was attacked and beaten by a mob for preaching against the enactments of the Jewish law. Furthermore, Paul was an outsider to the tight little knot of apostles. He was a Jew himself, but he was also a Roman citizen. He was much misunderstood. He believed, like Jesus, he had come not to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. And so in his travels, he would always start by going to the local synagogue to explain his mission. His life was in danger from religious extremists, and he invoked his privileges as a Roman citizen to be tried by Caesar in Rome. And what happens on his way to Rome? He becomes shipwrecked at Malta and bitten by a viper. It does call to mind that old lament, doesn't it? If you do this to your friends, I'd hate to see what you do to your enemies. But because of his conversion, because of his realization, he must continue to work and indeed fight for Christ. There is no going back. This is it. Paul traveled everywhere he could and is known as the Apostle to the Gentiles. As Paul discovered, it is only the start of a much greater and even more remarkable journey, which lasts our whole life and beyond. And in his writings to the first Christian communities, which we read here in church, Sunday by Sunday, we find Paul's beliefs being expanded and developed for us in his teaching and guidance to those first churches. For me, I have a bit of a love-hate relationship with St. Paul, but I have always thought of Paul as a really radical theologian who opened hearts and minds to the gospel by his passion and his conviction. He did what God needed him to do with obedience and joy, and he could do worse, and we could do worse than to emulate that. And you know, one of the great strengths of Paul came from his encounter with Jesus Christ, not merely on the road to Damascus, but every time he, with the early church, took bread and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same Lord who met him at the city gates of that Syrian capital comes here to meet us this morning. Like Paul, our Christian life is a journey towards God through Christ. It is a journey of unravelling the mysteries for ourselves and at our own pace. No one can do it for us. In prayer, in reading, in contemplation, reflection, discussion, action, deeds, and indeed our very being, to move on towards a stronger and yet closer relationship with Christ. And it's up to each one of us to make that individual journey for ourselves in any way that we feel able to do. And it is a journey which does not provide us with all the answers, but does equip us to understand more clearly and to accept God's will, God's mystery. And finally, there's a small detail in the account of the conversion of St. Paul which is sometimes overlooked, and that is the role of Ananias, which is not only significant, but pivotal too. Ananias had a key role to play as an instrument of God's grace and a means of imparting the Holy Spirit upon Saul. Before this, he was skeptical. We learn from Ananias that there is no harm in expressing doubt. There is no harm in being skeptical. There is no harm in asking questions, because this is often how our faith grows. We also see in Ananias that there is a need to act upon God's prompting. As we reflect on St. Paul today, let us remember too the role of Ananias and the role that he played specifically in Paul's conversion. God may well be using you to prompt others to respond to his call. Might this be something that God is actually prompting you to do, to become Ananias to one of your friends, one of your family, or one of your acquaintances? Amen.